This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
So, anyone get up to anything yesterday? Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Well, this podcast is named after a day of the week and a lovely song, which has the main hook, Mikey. How does it feel? Ipswich Town are in the Premier League. How are you feeling?
Well, a little bit hungover, but otherwise on top of the world. I'm so happy. All of my dreams came true yesterday.
Craig, did you ever imagine when you must have joined the podcast team at the lowest point? We must have been in League One when you joined. Did you ever think you'd be making the show?
And I can only imagine that's why I was brought in, to add a bit of sunshine and lightness to all proceedings, as we were getting beaten 3-0 by Wimbledon and Northampton and the likes. And funnily enough, I was chatting to my mate Glenn yesterday, and he always asks this question. He's always asking, in our lifetime, will we ever see Ipswich in the Premier League? He's always one of those sort of question guys. In our lifetime, will we ever see it? And we're like, God, maybe not. Maybe in our kids' lifetime, they might, if things change and things go our way, then possibly, maybe. But you just could not see it, could you? You could not see it.
Huge thank you in the chat to Richard Howenstein, $20 there on the, I don't know what sort of dollars they are, but we'll take any kind of dollars. Very, very kind. If you're watching live on YouTube at the moment, look, Mikey's going to drink to you for that one there. Did that really happen? My liver hurts. I think Mikey can relate. Richard, was it Daniel Farker saying Leeds needed more midfield players like Sam Morsy? Was Craig kind of bought in League One? Was he bought in to be the streetwise Sam Morsy type? Yeah.
What, the old pop master over there? 100%, yeah. Definitely. I'm trying to figure out when the results picked up. Was it about the time you joined, Craig? We'll need to dig that one out, check the stats out. You and Seb, I think, joined similar time. We'll figure that one out, but... yeah, I think so too.
I think the name you're looking for there, Rich, is Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not giving any credit to any. He's getting no credit for this whatsoever. No. Yeah. What, staggering, isn't it, mate? And just as like my own story, from this morning, and a symbol of how weird this is. Yesterday was kind of washed over me a little bit. It might have been the early start of the Greyhound and a lot of alcohol. But it didn't really impact me until I watched the game back this morning, and over my cereal, I had tears running down my face. It finally processed and sunk in. And I don't know if that's my body recalibrating to for 12 hours without alcohol, or actually being such a momentous, a huge moment as it is in all our lives. I hope it's the latter, but I think it's still going to take a while, Ben, to figure out the magnitude of what we've done. And obviously we're here to talk about it, and maybe this will help.
I think... the magnitude, it's literally, it sounds like I'm making this sound like some massive highfalutin political event. The magnitude will be years to come. We'll figure out what on earth has just happened over the past 2 years. But what on earth has happened over the past 3 minutes is there's hundreds of you here watching. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. I keep saying it. I've run out of superlatives. The podcast we never, ever, ever thought we would make. The fact that I can say these words, Ipswich Town beat Huddersfield 2-0 at the weekend to secure automatic promotion from the EFL Championship. And believe me, I've studied the EFL Championship for years and years and years. And this, Mikey, is not normal. We'll get into the kind of magnitude talk that Rich was suggesting. But there was a football match yesterday. I probably took in, I don't know, about 3% of what I'd normally take in whilst kind of being in a fog of emotion, nerves, and just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. But Huddersfield came to town, already relegated. If you were scared, because we've been trying to big up Sauber Thomas's set plays, well, he's obviously one of the ones with the bad attitude that maybe our friend Neil Warnock, more from him later. And someone told me before the game, Ben, they've changed the keeper. I'm like, oh, really? And they had as well. So it's going to be one of Craig Finbow's Sunderland throwing the towel in type things here. But it's just, here's your Huddersfield lineup, Mikey. Maxwell, Edwards, who, I'll leave it to you to describe his physical state at
He's
the moment.
A big old boy, isn't he? But a very good technical player. I quite liked him.
Andy Reid-esque.
Who was that lad who played for Luton? Steve McNulty. Looked like a Sunday League player, but he could play. Yeah. Michael Hellick, Matty Pearson, both very handy from set plays. Jackson Turton, Rudoni Kasumu-Wiles, Healy Ward. Mikey, I tried to say, oh, there's goals there. You know, Danny Ward is wily. Hellick's got loads of goals from set plays. But before we get there, I was just going to say a huge thank you to Gord, 22 Canadian dollars, a dollar for each year away. Brilliant. I love that. From Newmarket, Ontario, thanks for providing some community for those around. Thanks for all the super chats today. I'm sensing a bit of a thank you theme, and we really, really appreciate it. Anyway, Mike, I've been trying to ask you about the Huddersfield 11 for about 3.5 minutes. Go.
Yeah, so this Huddersfield team, I was quite impressed by Huddersfield when we played at their place early this season, but I remember on the day not really recognising many of their players, considering that they've only been out of the Premier League for what? 3 or 4 years. I think somebody said in the chat, Lee said, if we'd handpicked an opponent to play on the final day, it would have been Huddersfield. It was all perfectly set up. Personally, I didn't even really feel particularly nervous before the game once I sort of got there, because it's a really difficult game to play at high tempo when you don't have anything riding on it. And the only thing I was maybe slightly concerned about, because of listening to the excellent pre-match show with Rich and Seb, was we could concede an early set piece and concede there. I wasn't particularly scared
I had a denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity and a red card for us in 3 minutes. That was what was happening in my head.
Yeah, but that's just not us these days, is it? Like we don't do that sort of thing anymore, Ben. Like we're that perfect balance of fired up, but also just calm. Cool, calm and collected. And I think the only time maybe when we've panicked this year offensively was against Maidstone, and that was because it was a complete freak and we should have been 6-0 up after 14 minutes. But yeah, I don't think there was any danger of that happening this time, and especially only needing a point, so we thought. I felt pretty calm about this one, and I didn't really... My eye wasn't drawn to any of those Huddersfield players, really. I know Ward's been kicking about for a while up front for them, but he doesn't score a huge amount of goals, does he? But yeah, it just avoid any silly mistakes early on. Let's not concede any set pieces. And I think in the end, I don't even remember Huddersfield having a corner.
Overwhelming. Craig, you're going to get to talk about the Ipswich team in a minute, but the donations are flying and we really, really do appreciate this. Jack, 10 quid on the Super Chat. They're long overdue donation for all the brilliant work and content your team delivered. As reliable as a Leif Davis dead ball, I will take that. James, 20 quid. Wow, thank you so much, James. I recognise that name for sure. Supported Town since 2006. Never thought I'd see the day we get promoted to the Premier League again. Enjoyed listening to the pod since day one. Thanks for all the content over the years. One more, Craig. Sorry, Rando. 1, 2, 3. £10 on the Super Chat. I love you all. Guys, overwhelmingly kind. We really, really, really appreciate all of this. Craig, your Kieran McKenna week, which we talked about, your three-game week planned out to the nth degree. He knew what this lineup was going to be 21 days ago. I didn't. Here it is. Fladke in goal. Tuan Zabi retains at right back. No Clark. Wolfen and Burgess. No Edmondson. Leif Davis, of course. Luongo, Morsi, Hutchinson, Chaplin, Burns, George Hurst up top. Before you answer, Mark, thank you so much. £10 on the super chat. Thank you for a great podcast as always. And a massive thank you to Dave Diamond for the Blue Monday hoodie since the MND diagnosis. And I'm sure anyone who saw Mark's tweet at the weekend, in a very emotional weekend, was very moved by that. I certainly was. Craig, the 11.
Yes, there were some thoughts and people's views on the lineup in the Telegram chat, as we always tend to have pre-match about who's in, who's out. And there were a few maybe left field choices. Potentially Sarmiento would play, Broadhead, Moore. But at the end of the day, if everyone's fit, you could pretty much pick that 10 of that 11, maybe Tuan Zabi Clark, but tried and trusted, hang your hat on these 11 players to get the job done, wasn't it? As Mikey said, in terms of not having any sort of panic or any situations about things that may go wrong, you knew that Kieran McKenna would, at the end of the day, be going back to Chaplin, be going back to Hurst, be going back to Burns, be going back to Luongo and Morsi in midfield, even though they played during the week, et cetera, et cetera. So, with everyone being fit at this stage of the season, which in itself is pretty miraculous, you could pretty much guarantee what that team was going to be. So, no real shocks. And I say, as things transpired, things pretty much played out as we sort of expected it would be, I think, once the game kicked off.
Rich, you can come in a minute. Paul, $9.99 on the Super Chat for the Premier League mic covers or whatever. You do realise who Mikey works for and we get them for free anyway, so don't you worry about that.
I did get quite excited when I saw that. I was like, yep, that's something I could steal from work.
guys, absolutely overwhelmed by the donations. Richard, I mean, you sit down in the North Stand, don't you? But I have the joy with...
Stand up. Sorry,
keep going. Okay, you know what I mean. I had the joy, as would Craig have, of being able to just look out over this atmosphere. Beautiful, sunny day, proper end of season kind of look to it. Amazing atmosphere and something we haven't had for years. The people in front of the boxes reporting on goals going in. And before we get to our goal, Rich, just complete dominance despite my nerves. Some missed chances. And Leeds going behind.
Yeah, it's a spoiler alert. But it's such a strange situation having sat through three consecutive years of Ipswich chasing something down rather than having it in their own hands and hoping that other teams will do us a favour and ultimately them screwing up. I'm talking to you, Blackburn. I'm talking to you, Wolves, I think it was, against Bradford, was it? It's been so... We've been so used to, not being in the driving seat, and Coventry put us in that situation and made life much more stressful, much less stressful. But I think all of us expected Southampton to have given up the ghost. I know you and Joe had a bit of a debate last week, didn't you, about which Southampton will turn up? And we were all kind of hoping it would be the one that needs to give their form a kick up the arse before the playoffs and maybe give Leeds a game. But all of us, I think, expected Leeds to come out of the traps and just go for it and remove any doubt from their situation, and they didn't. And in fact, Leeds concede before we take the lead, and the whole ground, you can feel it, Ben. It's like a Mexican wave of noise coming around. But it, simultaneously, I think Connor Chapman's having shots from range. I think Wes Burns is played in a very similar situation,
wasn't it,
obviously closer in for the goal, but kind of slotted in through on goal, quite similar actually to the circumstances around the Exeter goal in the second half that makes it six, and agonizing wrong side of the post. But Ben, eventually, the territory, the possession, the chances will pay off.
Oh God, I'm going to spend my whole time reading donations. You guys are absolutely
happy birthday
incredible.
To Ashley, by the way. It was Ashley's birthday on Saturday.
Wow.
What a day.
Actually, he's been here every week, hasn't he? Bless him. $9.99 a super. Much love for an amazing podcast, an amazing season. I think, did I see another one come in as well? Forgive me. No, that is it. And as Rich has just set up very nicely, and yeah, the uncorking of the tension bottle, so to speak, Mikey, I was just getting to the point of, oh, you know, Leeds had equalised now, hadn't they? And it's like, chances are just going a little bit awry, and exactly what we needed to settle the nerves. What a moment, what a goal, what a noise.
Yeah, and I just had my big moment on Sky Sports main event as well, singing Leeds Are Falling Apart.
Classy.
So Amari Hutchinson wins the ball high up the pitch. He seems when he plays on the left, he's even better at winning the ball back in the final third. And it's something that all of our attackers have done so well, especially in the last few weeks. We always talk about how good Sarmiento is at getting the ball high up the pitch. And that's exactly what Murray Hutchinson did. And he drives forward, plays the ball into George Hurst, who immediately runs towards goal, but sort of reads it quite well, sees that he's not going to, his lane to the box is sort of blocked off. So he turns back round, lays it off for Connor Chaplin, who had just played that beautiful ball in behind for Burns, and he skewed it wide. And this time, I think Burns just thought, I've just got to get my head over the ball and just hit the target. And I think he aims at the goalkeeper's legs, which you're quite often told to do, especially if you're struggling with a little bit of confidence in front of goal. He just drove it really hard and low. And although it was near post, I don't think the goalkeeper had any chance. And yeah, I slung my sausage roll onto the pitch. I was really misbehaving at this stage. Made it past the 6-yard box. And yeah, everyone was just going absolutely wild when they, incredible moment. And I think anyone that was feeling nervous up to that moment probably wasn't feeling too bad after that.
Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Thank you so much. $9.99 on the Super Chat. Keep up the great work, Blue Monday team. Consistently brilliant this season. Dave, QPR fan.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Dave. You made this happen.
We should be giving Dave £5, not the other way around.
Congratulations. We're now going to smash it in the Premier League. Becoming your players. Did yourself proud. And Paul, who I often see walking from, what's that posh place called, where he parks his car? I won't reveal that. Thanks for £22 on the Super Chat, Paul. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us on this long journey. From pod number one to where we are now, what a community we have. Guys, absolutely overwhelmed by the donations today. Thank you. Thank you so much. Craig, Mikey has summed the goal up, and Southampton then go 2-1 up. And the bloke next to me, who actually used to be the mayor of Colchester, I'll give him a shout out tonight, the bloke who's got the season ticket next to me, is very similar to me. We're equally curmudgeonly and grumpy, and how can we possibly lose this and mess this up? And I said to him, you're going to shout at me now, but we are 6 points clear of Leeds at the moment. This is going better than you possibly could have hoped. And the next thing he says was, yeah, we just need to be 2-0 up before halftime. And I'll agree with you then. But take me into halftime, Craig. Just really controlled, way more calm than most of the fans. And yeah, couldn't have been better, could it?
No. And sort of as Mike was talking about the Huddersfield team and not really seeing much threat there, as soon as the game started, you thought, crikey, there's not much of a chance we're not going to get a result here. Once Huddersfield started to play and they really weren't getting into our half, and when they did get into our half, Burgess and Wolfenden were just sweeping stuff up, and it was just the entire game was being played in the Huddersfield half. And as you guys say, it just needed that one goal to unpop the cork, shall we say. And so when that went in, I didn't immediately stand up and shout and scream. I just sat for a split second and just exhaled to say, and I think that's all it would have took. Seeing that first 20 minutes of the game, it would just have taken that one goal, and the sooner we got that one goal, the better. And once we were in front, then yeah, it was pretty controlled, wasn't it, Ben? As you say, it was more a case of how many we'd score than Huddersfield scoring, and the results the other side in the other games were going our way. As you say, it was a nice little flashback to seasons past, you know, back in the Burley days of those playoff games where there'd be a little corner of the ground somewhere which has got well, back then it would have been a radio signal before everybody else, but there was a slight little patch at the top of the Churchmen's, right in the far corner at the bottom near where the away fans are, and they went up first. And it was, as you say, from there, it was like a ripple effect, the little pebble in the pond, and it just, you know, echoed around the ground. It was fantastic to see from my vantage point. But yeah, there was no real threat from Huddersfield. Even from set pieces, there was no real threat at all. As you say, in terms of handpicking an opposition, we couldn't have wished for better. And it's just more a case of just controlling the game, as Mike says, as we tend to do, and seeing it out till half time, then seeing how many goals we could get.
Yeah, I wasn't rich. I wasn't having that. You couldn't handpick an opponent narrative, but I am having it now. And everyone who said that was very, very right, wasn't it? I tell you what I would like to have handpicked, and I said this when I took my seat for the second half, after speaking to the great David Diamond, who is missing in action somewhere. We'll figure out where he is somehow.
He's at Curry's,
somewhere,
isn't he, I think?
Oh, I've got no idea. I want to buy a new laptop.
Rumbelow.
Max machine.
That goes off at 7:05 p.m., 8:05 every Sunday night. Poor old Dave, he's not here to defend himself and he's getting absolutely buried. But hey, we've just been promoted to the Premier League. Rich, you just wanted that second goal to go in as soon as possible. We had lots of kind of fantasy discussions in the Telegram. Who gets the goal? Amari Hutchinson gets the goal.
Yeah, the man for the moment. I just need to take us back very quickly. Again, the chat about Huddersfield pre-match, Brighton Wright becoming a little bit of a Paul Cook demolition man. Rodoni gives the ball away for the goal and is immediately substituted, by the way. In terms of having a very public slap backside, I don't think it gets any bigger than that one in a game which really doesn't matter for Huddersfield. So he was not in the mood to muck around Brighton Wright. But frankly, just after the second half, when you want to get that second goal, Ipswich step it up. And it's no coincidence that the ball is broken up and won in midfield by our fearless leader, Sam Morsey, just peerless, you know, would walk into any other Championship team and maybe walk into a good chunk of Premier League teams. Doesn't need to now, he's in ours. And the person, Ben, whose game has raised the most, I think they talked about it on Sky, the kind of trajectory of his season eased him in, didn't they? McKenna knew the game plan, scored the goal away at Southampton, but I think was then back on the bench the next game. You know, McKenna's eased him in, and to this point now where he's such a huge player for us. We saw it at Hull, and he's so calm. He knows exactly what he's doing, heads the goal and hits the shot early. Maxwell, a little bit unsighted, gets a hand to it, but it's not enough. You think keeper should do better here, Ben?
We all do, Rich, but who cares today?
I'm trying to big up Amari because I think it's a great goal. Maxwell probably should do better, but it's the relief is there now because any doubt about a scruffy set piece goal, us having a bit of a brain fart, which of course now after the fact was never going to happen. Everyone was confident. I don't know why I wasn't sleeping for 5 days. I should have known exactly what was going to happen. But the fact is, until you do it, it's not done. But Amari gets the goal, and what a kind of a bookend for particularly the last few months of how important he's been for us. If we can keep him even bigger, and a great celebration to go with it as well, Ben.
I think that's the most hang time he's got on one of those.
It was big, wasn't it?
Billy, who looks like a Chelsea fan, welcome. Congratulations, Ipswich, back to the Premier League. Is that Cole Palmer, Mikey? We look forward to going against him next season, but that is not a conversation for today. We are looking back today. Reading Tractor, £10 on the Super Chat. Wow, this is just unbelievable.
We should give some stuff away, Ben. Let's give some stuff away.
We will do later. Streaky, 25. Oh,
another one.
On the Super Chat, Lee on Sea Blue, another.
Oh, nice. Well, this is overwhelming. I'm a laptop thanks with this.
Thanks for Essex. Keeping me Essex. Essex. All season. It's the best town pod by far. Thank you so much, Tim. £10 on the Super Chat. Thank you for all your hard work over such an incredible season. I think Streaky's got a message there as well. My wife, thank you for spoiling her Sunday nights for these last few months. Guilty. Mikey, let's be honest, the game was rubbish after the second goal, wasn't it? Let's just shake hands on this and get this done. When they brought Caroma in, there was a little, we gave the ball away a couple of times, didn't we? And there was a kind of little lull, which sort of takes us up to this Game of Thrones entrance of the police where Can someone hum dun 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 that sort of thing? But it was all just done. I think everything had stopped at Elland Road and get to the final whistle and let the celebrations begin, right?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because you wait all your life to have this moment, and then you're kind of wishing it away, aren't you? Because you want to get onto the next thing, which is for a couple of us getting onto the pitch. But yeah, it was a bit of a non-event towards the end of the game. Christian Walton came on, which was nice bit of symmetry there. Because obviously it was Slabke that came on for him.
Has to make a save.
Yeah, he did. He did make a decent save. I don't think he gave the ball away either with his feet.
Yeah. Bit of nifty footwork at the corner flag, yeah.
Can I just talk about that quickly? Because that is the most ostentatious 3-yard side foot pass. He was like, I can play out from the back, everyone. I could have been doing this all season. Look at this 3-yard pass. Yeah. Whoosh, away I go. But we love you, Christian Walton. Sorry, Mikey. You managed to get interrupted by all of us then. Continue.
It's all right. Karuma had a decent shot that went just over after some really sloppy play. But yeah, just at this stage, just trying to work out the route onto the pitch. And I think you could tell that I think it was really well policed and stewarded. I don't know if that's a word yesterday. I think they made it quite clear that they weren't there to stop people getting on the pitch. They were there to try and get people onto the pitch safely. And getting other people out of the way where they need it. Because obviously there would have been a few fallers yesterday, unfortunately. But what I saw, everyone was picking each other up.
Mike as well, Hooper, you could see, told the two captains a fair time before, I'm going to go this much longer. Then before the last kick, he was like, right, we're blowing. If you want to get yourself off this pitch, Huddersfield players, you can. Sorry, let me just do another couple of donations. Thanks so much, guys. Nick. £5 on the Super Chat. Thanks for putting up with us and providing content when it was grim. So pleased to see you really enjoying yourself. Can you tell we're enjoying ourselves? Elliot, thanks all. Telegram and these pods have massively enhanced my ITFC experience. Lovely to hear. This is for Rich to buy some nails and a hammer for picture frames rather than command strips. And Craig appears to be waving some command strips.
Seb called that an omen. If you didn't watch the pre-match show, that picture fell off the wall, the UEFA Cup final programs. And Seb said, oh, I hope that's not some sort of omen. It's like, oh, cheers, mate. Thanks very much. That wasn't in my head. And now it bloody is. But no, it went straight back up on the wall afterwards.
I don't think they can be linked. I'm pretty sure they can't be linked, mate. You're
no. Right. Butterfly effect.
So, Craig, final whistle. Try and give me your emotions. Because it's weird. It's not something that happens suddenly, is it, getting promoted? It's something that's happened over 9 months or even 2 years that even if you wouldn't have believed it was ever going to happen, as you know, gradually it's like it getting dark when you're outside, you don't really notice it happened, and then all of a sudden it's dark. How are you feeling at full time?
I was about 30 seconds before full time. I was making my way downstairs from the upper tier of the Pioneer Stand,
making my way downtown
to the bottom.
It's unbelievable.
I don't even know what that means, mate. So
come on, Pop Master.
What year? Come on, then.
And I want you,
and I need you,
and I would walk,
Michelle
Branch Carriage.
I was making my way downstairs, basically, to try and get on the pitch. And as you say, the stewards were helping people onto it. They weren't helping me on the pitch. It took me about 5 or 6 attempts to get on the pitch because where Dave sits, the barrier is quite a lot higher than it looks from above. So I was very much like, for the older viewers, Gordon Strachan in the 1986 World Cup, after he'd scored against West Germany, he went to do a celebration of jumping over the sponsors and couldn't. And that was pretty much me. So, yeah, by the time I'd got over, Oscar was up near the north stand.
I bet Oscar didn't have any problems getting over that, did he?
No, while I was Dick Fosburying over the the advertising hoardings and falling on my backside, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, it was just fantastic. And it was nice. There were so many people on there, and it was all good-natured. And the Huddersfield players just wandered off. You know, no fans were interested in them. The Huddersfield coaches walking off. The Ipswich Town players were absolutely loving it. Luongo was having a selfie with every single person he could find. Edmondson.
Joe Bears, indeed.
Joe Bears, yeah.
Yeah, Edmondson was having Sarmiento and Moores. You'd show everyone was on shoulders. It was just a lovely, lovely atmosphere. You could tell the players were, even the fringe players were getting fully, fully involved with everything that was going on the pitch. There was no booing from crowd. Well, I could hear booing from crowd. I'm sure. Apparently, Mark Murphy was telling everybody to get off the pitch after 10 seconds, but you could not hear it on the pitch. You could hear something was being said, but you know, for all we could tell, he was just shouting "Blue Army" with the wrong intonations. and yeah, so it just carried on like that, and it was just a fantastic, lovely atmosphere, flares, songs. Each player was having their own individual songs in their little ecosystem of people that were hanging around them. Jeremy Sarmiento was singing his own song at the top of his voice, draped in an Ecuador flag. Yeah, it was just a great time to be. I'm just saying, having been on the pitch at Oxford 92, having been on the pitch for Portman Road in 2000, it was just nice to have those experiences again. And for everyone, you know, it's a very strong possibility. I was of an older demographic on the pitch at the time, but it was nice for those kids, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, whatever it was, to have that experience to go forward and grab a bit of grass and stick it in their wallet, and keep it there as a keepsake for years to come.
Rich, what a moment.
Yeah, and it's funny how Craig had quite a difficult route to it. I mean, the North Stand lower, there was queues forming about 10 minutes beforehand. All the stairwells were full, but I was the second wave and it was really polite and we just kind of strolled out. The gates were open out. We went and, you know, the great thing about these moments is the strangers that you hug, you know, in the stands for the goals, and then you meet your mates randomly in the pitch and hug them as well. The songs, you know, you end up in front of different bits of the stadium, and it was just brilliant. And I was, yesterday was kind of a day for the likes of Craig's boy, Oscar, and that kind of stuff. You know, I was, you know, there 99, 2000, 91, 92, just about remember. I remember fans actually sitting on the pitch and protesting in 93, 94, Craig, I think, were given out. So it's nice to have a pitch invasion that is, you know, proper. I think a few people, a little bit conflicted last year about the Exeter one. You know, I'm not going to begrudge anyone to celebrate a success, but getting out of League One kind of felt like getting back to par, getting back to level, rather than what we've just done, which is getting back to the top table in the pyramids and doing it in super quick style with a team that is just fashioned from this quality team from League One. 8 of the 11 yesterday on Saturday played against Exeter. It's not like we've demolition manned our way through the Championship.
Rich, signings from Fleetwood, Accrington, players disregarded. Yeah. Salford, yeah, players disregarded by Middlesbrough, whatever Neil Leeds, Warnock had to say to me the other day. Yeah, carry on, sorry.
No, and this team is now part of, you know, it's, last season kind of enshrined them in our hearts. Obviously, huge love for Kieran McKenna, but to see them go through this season, 46 games, to actually get quite a lot of, you know, people looking down their nose at us and saying, lucky Ipswich Town. 96 points, 1 point behind Leicester. You know, there's a situation where we go for the title yesterday. You know, if Leicester have dropped 1 point before they play yesterday, this team is just brilliant. And I assume the next half an hour of the podcast is us just paying huge, massive homage to Kieran McKenna, who is an absolute freaking genius, isn't he? Let's be honest, he's mastermind of this. But the ownership, all there yesterday, Mark Ashton, you know, all of these things have to come together at the same time to produce this kind of result. Kieran McKenna, vital, of course, but he's been well-backed at the right times. The community stuff builds the momentum in the stands as well, in the community, the goodwill, Ben. And yesterday, it all comes together. The jigsaw is finally complete.
And just to add in what you say, I'd already gone before I got to the game. And I said in my vlog, I drove down to see my dad. So my dad lives Belsterbrook Hotel, there's Belsterbrook Hotel mention. And I promise, the amount of kids, they weren't going to the game. They were just playing out on their bikes, just, you know, running around in Chantry and down the bottom.
Beautiful,
there,
isn't it?
All wearing Ipswich shirts. And it was just, you know, my God, what a turnaround. Ed, £23.24. I like that. I like that a lot. Very clever. What an unbelievable season. Thank you so much. Come on, you Premier Blues. Thank you so much, Ed. Oh, Bits. Unbelievable. What a legend. $19.99 on the Super Chat. Guys, thank you so much for these donations. Thank you for all your efforts over the past years. And I must thank you more for telling me what happened in the match yesterday because I can't remember. Sounds like the Bits I know. Premier League hangover here. Love you guys.
Ben, just quickly on Bits's Twitter, there's a fantastic video that he shot at 7 a.m. this morning, walking past the curve.
He hasn't been to sleep yet.
Oh, no, it isn't him. He's commenting on like the state of of the town centre after last night. It looked like an absolute war zone.
It's already it was cleared up really quickly, and you have to give huge, massive credit to the council, by the way. They came in and they had a team. They put a tweet out as well, kind of not in relation to Bits one, but thank you to the folk who cleared up, because it was a bit of a party last night. And also we need to shout out the Greyhound heaving. It was Ben pre and post match, but Dan and the team there worked really hard, and again made yesterday special.
Graham Saffrey, £10 on the Super Chat. Thank you, Graham. Thank you for your amazing coverage this season. Watched the game in Huddersfield. Interesting, everyone in the bar was cheering when Town scored you can imagine the rush. Couple of words to say there. Billy, our Chelsea friend, is super chatting again. Thank you so much. Don't want to give you a preview of what Palmer will do to your defence next. Again, that's a conversation for next season. We're looking forward to Cole Palmer and Erling Haaland. And
I'm looking forward to the pre-match, Ben. Yeah. If Palmer doesn't get you, then someone else will. You know, Sterling will get you. Oh, blimey.
Right. Guys, thank you so much. I think we've managed to get through the game. We'll go to your questions. And if you've just got memories and memories, because it only happened yesterday, but significant things from yesterday you want to tell us about, we'll happily read those out as well. But it is my utter, utter pleasure for the last time this season. I'm going to bring up the fucking championship table, everybody. And I'm going to get us demonetized, but I don't care because we've had a million donations and I'm really chuffed with that. Oh, my God. Look at that. Leicester City. Sorry, a big apology if you're listening in the van with the kids. I do apologize for that. F-bomb. I'm a bit emotional. I got a bit carried away there. Leicester City champions on 97 points. Ipswich Town, not just second place, but 96 points. One of the best championship totals, you know, during that 100-point club. You're one of the best championship teams ever. Not far off it at all. Leeds miss out with 90 points, which is a hell of a total. Southampton finished fourth with 87 points. And my championship nerdery will tell you 86.4. Finish above that, you normally get second place. And 87, where I come from, is above 86.4. Just unbelievable. We'll talk about the significance of the table and all of that good stuff in just a minute. We've got loads of questions coming in. So for the final time this season, here is a message from our friends at Innovation Labs. Apologies for my language 1 minute ago.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups, or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur opening soon.
Blue Monday are delighted to be partnered with TalkSport Fan Network and NordVPN, giving you the best possible offering for browsing the internet securely. NordVPN opens up global streaming options for content not available in your region by switching your virtual location quicker than Wes Burns running down the wing. NordVPN acts like your cyber Sam Morsey whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like passwords and credit card details from falling into the wrong hands. For about the price of an ITFC match program a month or a Blue Monday Telegram subscription, you can get yourself a NordVPN account which can be used across 6 different devices. If you need to rapidly change direction like Amari Hutchinson, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast or YouTube subscription to be taken straight there, supporting us here at Blue Monday in the process.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hedge Fund, $19.99 donation on the Super Chat. Thank you so much for all the good times and the bad. Thanks for being there. Mikey, are you able to process this yet? The scale of the achievement, not just back-to-back. I know Norwich and Southampton did it. They did it pre-parachute payment era, you know, and this may go down as one of the toughest seasons. You know, when you go and ask a Leeds and Southampton fan how tough this season was to get promoted. Again, Richard already mentioned it's a team with players signed for 60 grand from Fleetwood and from Salford. Are you able to process the magnitude of it yet?
In a word, no. It's just absolutely outrageous, really, isn't it? I think a few of us thought we could challenge for the playoffs this season. I think I predicted that we'd finish about 7th or 8th because I really thought we were going into the season with momentum and we had players that could step up and find another gear. And obviously we have a world-class coach that just seems to be able to get the best out of everyone and collectively as a team as well. But yeah, it is just absolutely incredible what we've done. I'm struggling for the words. Not particularly coherent, am I? I didn't get much sleep last night. I've eaten a lot of bad food and drunk a lot of beer the last...
Just cry. That'll be great for the views.
I cried pretty much the whole way back home to Surrey earlier, just trying to process it all. But yeah, I'm still kind of numb.
Craig, your thoughts?
Well, in terms of the magnitude, I think the magnitude might hit us once we slap in our first £20 million bid for some unknown Colombian midfielder or something along those lines. But Kieran McKenna pointed it out himself in one of his post-match interviews yesterday, in that the interviewer, I think, was asking about, oh, this tussle that you've been having with the three parachute teams. And he pointed out that the other two teams that are in the top six are West Brom and Norwich, and they are also benefiting from parachute payments. So it's not just the three teams that we're fighting against, it's the other two teams that we're fighting against who've also, you know, got financial benefits on top of us. And let's say, once you look at that, and some of the guys have been pointing out in the chat in terms of the points that we've gained in the last 2 years, it's just the number of goals that we've scored as well in the last 2 years. You know, I was chatting to TalkSport earlier as part of the things that we do for them, and that's one of the things I mentioned to those guys, is that, what was it, 101 goals last year, 92, is it, 93 this year? And as we said earlier, our top scorers got 13 goals. Our two top scorers got 13 goals each. It's not as if we're reliant on one flash in the pan Daryl Murphy striker scoring all of our goals out of nothing, you know, from the edge of the box, hitting half volleys into the bottom corner. They're just a team that has gone toe-to-toe with teams in the Championship, having sort of steamrolled teams in the second half of the League One season. We've now gone toe-to-toe for an entire Championship season with teams with better squads than us on paper, and scored multitudes of goals and earned a multitude of points. It's just absolutely remarkable.
What is remarkable is your kindness, guys. I've got another few of these to do. Martin, who's a solid Telegram member as well, isn't he? Thank you for your brilliant work, chaps. Great day and evening in the Greyhound yesterday. Still trying to decide where 2022-24 ranks. We're going to get there in 5-10 years' time, aren't we? In the all-time list of club highs alongside 61, 62, 78, 80, 81, 91, 92, 99, 2000, 2000, 2001. Thank you so much. Mike, I think I might need your help pronouncing that. Yana or Yane?
Yane.
what he said. Thanks, you guys. The podcast made the duck. He is so much more bearable. Just quality every week. Greetings from Finland. 20 euros from... Say it again, Mikey.
Janne Salonen.
Thank you. Veronica, a staple in our Telegram group, $9.99 on the Super Chat. Thank you so, so much, everybody. Richard, I'm trying to be objective because I study the championship, and Luton was really special last year. I don't want to denigrate their achievement because it opened up beneath them and we ended up with Coventry and Luton in the playoffs, and Norwich and Watford choked the year one parachute payment. And as Craig mentioned, West Brom were on year two last year as well, and a massive load of choking. I think what Luton did over maybe 8-10 years is sort of comparable to what, you know, it's different with us because maybe we shouldn't have been in League One in the first place. I think what Sheffield United did that particular season as well, I know they didn't go back-to-back promotions, is a similar story, and really innovative tactics, really hard opponents that season they got up in 18-19. But Reading, 106 points, I guess you've got to talk about. I'm struggling to think of any greater championship stories than this.
No, you're right. And I think a lot of it, again, comes down to essentially a rookie manager, isn't it, in Kieran McKenna, and the indisputable style of play. I mean, how many years on this podcast, to your credit, to Dave's credit, did we talk about the complete lack of identity, of patterns of play that we've tried to use to get success, particularly in League One? Kieran McKenna, high pedigree coach, of course, through Spurs, through Man United, but his first managerial job in his first full season, promoted off the back of 13 wins out of 14 to get us out of League One, and to not have had to change a huge amount. I think we've become a little bit more direct at times, more progressive, but those patterns, the passing out through the back, through the thirds, the one touch passing, the triangles, etc. The identity has been there since day one for Kieran McKenna, and to get that accelerated success off the back of that is huge credit for us, and I think makes this achievement even greater. We haven't gone kind of one dimensional. We haven't gone looking for a Murphy. We haven't had to rely on a striker to bag 30 goals. To Craig's point, our top scorer, maybe second, is he as well, Broadhead, are number 10s. We haven't got a striker who's scoring the goals. The goals are shared amongst the team. And for that, I think, you know, that rapid a progression, I think makes, there's just so much to like about it. I guess we're going to be biased, aren't we? But I think you're right in terms of the history of this club as well. The fact that we've been out of the top flight for so long, I don't know if this is the longest, but I think that's context as well, and how badly we tried to get back, and finally we have.
Guys, I'm so sorry. The chat's moved on by about 7,000 chats. Can you put your questions in again? Because they might have got lost at the top. And I've got another few donations. Thank you so much, George. Haven't been able to go to a game since September 2020. I've been an avid listener, watcher since 2016-17. Thanks for bringing me closer to the club again. Do you know what baffles me as well? People came up to, I've got so many people lovely came up to me yesterday and said hello. And the people that come up and say, oh, I started listening in 2020. And I'm like, there's 5 years of the pod before
that. Don't go back. Don't go through the back catalogue.
Eric Hitchmo does a donation guarantee tiers. Depends how, if I can get any of this Beer 52 stuff. Beer52.com/bloom. If I can get any of that over to Mike.
Something quite like McDelivery, Ben.
Okay. Does a donation guarantee tiers. Fantastic pod as ever. Tom and Ben in Sheffield. Aaron, 2024. Love that on the Super Chat. Is this our first Saturday 12:30 win under Kieran McKenna? I've got no
Wimbledon
idea.
We won in the cup against Wimbledon. We did mention that in the pre-match, didn't want to go there. But yeah, we have had middling results in the league. But I think we beat Exeter last season away on 12:30 kickoff. So
yeah,
we did have one victory, albeit in the cup. I've been starring question
posts, by the way, Ben, if you want to go into the stars.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Should we give some tickets away to the best question?
Yeah, go on. You do that. You do that, Rich.
Well, you can watch back our interviews with Neil Warnock, who spoke to us because he's going to be at the Ipswich Region in June, 7th of June, Friday, 7th of June, to be precise. And as a thank you for all the super chat, I think we should probably give away the whole theatre, but we unfortunately don't have access to do that. We'll give a pair of tickets away to the best question. We'll get that sorted afterwards. But yeah, a couple of tickets for the best question that we get tonight for the Neil Warnock event. So there's something back. By the way, just while we're doing plugs and stuff like that, we have about three print giveaways on our social media as well. So head over there. Innovation Labs want to do some stuff as well. More details about that next week. So we'll hopefully some great content, but we'll put some stuff out there because I think we feel like we want to give some stuff back to you guys as well, frankly, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't people listening and watching. So yeah, Neil Warnock tickets on their way to someone who asks a great question.
And I'll buy a beer for the lucky winners, Rich, but not in a pub, not in the theatre, because they're too expensive.
little tub of ice cream with a wooden spoon in the lid. A
couple of cans of Carling coming someone's way.
Oh, I love that. Other beers are available, especially from your friends at Beer 52, beer52.com/Bloom for your free books. Rob, what content from Bloom Monday during the summer? We'll get our heads together and we'll figure out what the plan is. I can see your hand, Rich, and put it down. It's like I'm back in school here, isn't it, hey? All right, I'll come to you in 5 minutes. Yeah, exactly.
No one likes that kid at school who's got his bloody hand up, aren't you?
I know.
I'll throw to him then. Away you go.
At the very least, we did this last season, so I suspect we'll do it again for symmetry. We did a two-parter season review, and we also did end of season awards as well. So I suspect those shows will be... I think we quite like a break, but I suspect that the first of those will probably be next Sunday.
Rich, where we used to do a season review and people would actually have Ipswich fans listen to the actually have a go at us in the comments. Don't do this, guys. No one wants to hear your season review.
We don't need to go through the pain again.
Emma Hughes could have stayed fit, Ben.
Tom Eddie. Oh, dear. Craig, most important substitution of the season. Harness at Birmingham, Sarmiento versus Saints. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? When you start, a few people today were asking me about games and what's the best game you've been to and most memorable moments. But you sort of look back and think, God, if we'd have won there, but then as Streaky says there, you just think about that Birmingham game. Just it's like pivotal moments, isn't it? When you're down and out, when you're not playing very well, and to get points from seemingly, nothing situations, and that harness, well, you did forget all about it, the turmoil that Birmingham have been through. They've been through four managers since we drew 2-2 away at their place. So you can name those. You could name the late winner against Bristol City, can't you? There's been so many this season that you could tick off, and they're all as it transpires, we didn't need quite so many points, did we, to beat Leeds? Yeah, everyone's going to have their favourites. But I just think towards the end of the season, they obviously accumulate more and get magnified a little bit more, don't they? So that Southampton game, I think, is going to take some beating.
Yeah, I agree with that. Horse Hollerer, $20 on the Super Chat. Brilliant. Thanks for everything, gents. Have a great summer. There was another one. Neil Johnson, great content all season. $9.99 on the Super Chat. Hit the mark every time, guys. We are overwhelmed and chuffed with your donations. Really, really kind. Bits, is Mikey the best presenter that Blue Monday have? Possibly in his current state, Mikey. I would say no.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's just Bits and Diane Rose Smith that actually share that opinion.
Paul, we'll go to you with this one then, Mikey. What was the moment when promotion was really on? For me, it was Leif Davis's goal against Bristol City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'll go back a little bit earlier than that. Sam Morsey's winner at Watford, I started to think this could
December.
Really be on. Yeah, that was back in early December. That was one of the highlights of the season for me. I was on my honeymoon for Sarmiento's injury time winner against Southampton. But yeah, there was a period after that where I started to doubt it. And even, I'll confess, ahead of the Hull game, which wasn't that long ago, was it? Looking back, nine days. I said that
three-game week.
I said that my instinct was that we were probably just going to fall short, but it would sort of be a glorious failure. But then as soon as I saw that performance against Hull, I started to really, really believe again. And I was fairly confident going to Coventry. And as I said earlier, full faith going into yesterday's game. But yeah, for me, probably the first time it really felt real was that Morsy goal at Watford, because things just seemed to be going our way. And obviously that was before the George Hurst injury as well.
This is a great question. We don't have to get divisive about this. We'll go to you, Richard. Have this set of players already surpassed Burley's team in fans' affection? So when you talk about this comparison, Rich, you've got a team that won at Wembley and then finished fifth in the Premier League versus a team that have done back-to-back promotions from League One up to the Premier League. Affections is beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's maybe an argument that what McKenna's done was harder than what Burley did, although I don't know when you factor in the fifth place in the Premier League. It's a great debate, and I feel privileged to have seen both.
Yeah, as we keep saying it in relation to what we've achieved, the Premier League is so much more different than it was 20 years ago. That fifth place finish, I don't think probably may not happen now. Through the playoffs and then getting into Europe, the money has just changed everything. As with all things, it's an age thing. Everyone has their first Ipswich Town team that they love. I was a bit too young to figure out the beauty of Steve Whitten and his pinged crosses, but I know that some of our learned colleagues, there he is, some of our learned colleagues absolutely knew, had a scrapbook and all sorts about that. But Burley's team was my team, and I think it's okay that you don't have to compare. It's apples and pears comparison for me, Ben. And there's a lot we can still love the current team, but also love Marcus Stewart, Matt Holland, Jim Magilton, Jamie Clapham, Tony Murray, Richard Wright. We don't have to put them up. It's not top trumps. It might still be fun though. But I think just because this team has come through together, and it's all kind of around Kieran McKenna, who I think possibly is the most loved Ipswich Town manager, certainly since, I think sadly. For George
Rich,
Burley,
I never thought anyone would overtake Burley for me.
It is,
and
now,
I've
it?
Got to have a, I've got to have a long think about this.
I think McKenna's up there, mate.
Yeah. Amen. Aaron, we can all give a one-word answer to this. Which away fixture are you guys most looking forward to next season? I mean, for me, Luton Town, if they can stay up, Luton versus Ipswich in the Premier League, given where I live and the fact. I think I've seen that fixture in about 18 different forms, but as a Premier League game, that would be the one for me. Mikey?
Sorry, this isn't one word, Ben, so I'll just say it really quickly. It would be nice to play the final game at Goodison Park.
Oh.
That would be nice. Goodison Park, but also with my family ties, Crystal Palace as well.
Oh, I love it. Craig?
Yeah, I'll go for City then, shall I? My old man's a Man City supporter as it goes, so
amazing.
I'll let you go for that
one. Richard,
I'm looking forward to the McKenna Derby, Man United at Portman Road, because we generally do okay against Man United at Portman Road, so I'm going with that one.
I thought you were going to say Coventry in the Cup, but
Martin, most improved player this season. I mean, we'll go chapter and verse on this, but Richard, off the top of your head,
Burgess.
Greg?
I'll go Hutchinson. I know he's not our player, but just as Rich was talking about earlier, in terms of that upward curve we've seen, just to go from quite a callow academy player who, when he got the slightest touch, was falling over and pleading to the ref for a free kick, to being the guy that's tracking back and kicking people and winning the ball and starting our attacks. I think it's been pretty phenomenal. And also will put us in a good stead for future loanees should we need them. People know they can trust us with their players and improve them.
Mikey?
I'm going to shout out Axel Tuanzebe. I think he's really matured in that right back position. And just to avoid repeating Rich and Craig, I'm going to go for Ladke. Just an incredible trajectory. What an unbelievable Ipswich Town career he's had. Literally unbelievable.
That's one of the many ridiculous stories that go into this season. And, you know, I've discussed this with people. They're like, Ben, you haven't had any injuries this season. I'm like, hey, really? Because our number one goalkeeper got injured and the reserve has happened to step up and play the entire season and pinch his shirt off him. There we go. Questions. Nick, which single championship player would we buy? I think Johnny Rowe, if he had some release clause that was really low, would be very satisfying, wouldn't it? Mikey?
Can you come back to me? Flynn Downs, there you go. There's one.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Great.
Yeah, that was going to be my choice, actually, to be fair, but I'll go for an equivalent Ben Sheath then, if that's the... I just think... sorry, Rich. Ah, oh, damn it, I went for Coventry as well, didn't I? Yeah, I just think we just need maybe a little bit more oomph and steel and pace and aggression in that middle of midfield.
Somerville. I'm joking. Walker Peter, Howard Bella seems like there's a link there as well. We do need to have a dispassionate conversation, don't we, at some point about squad for next season. I don't want to do that now.
Not today. Well, let's just quickly talk about that, because in my vlog, I felt moved to talk about Caden Jackson when he came on, Craig. And I think people agree with me on the pod, described that transfer window as the most disastrous in the club's history. And, I've written Caden Jackson off many, many times and thought we overpaid for him and had our pants pulled down. And in the biggest game in 20 years, when he needed some legs, who did he bring on? Caden Jackson. And listening to him speaking to Radio Suffolk, may have been his last appearance, but along with the Hladke story, Craig, it's not a ridiculous story in this squad, isn't it?
Yeah, you're calling him a cockroach, aren't you, Ben, basically, that he just outlasts everything regardless of all the nuclear explosions that are going on around him. He's still there running up and down the right wing. We don't know. Let's not talk about it now. But what was quite nice was after the game, as and when I watched the Sky coverage back, and fair play to Sky, they put an awful lot of coverage to us, didn't they? Post-match just went on and on and on. They were interviewing everyone they could find. But
Luke Chambers was quite excited, wasn't he?
Luke Chambers was absolutely bloody brilliant, I thought.
Yeah, he was.
He's class.
He is absolutely just made for that job. David Pratton needs to look behind him, I think. But
Ashton was great, wasn't he, Craig, by the way? Ashton's 2 minutes.
He was. Yeah, and I made that comment in the Telegram. If people want to grab that 2 minutes from Ashton, where, you know, we all know what he can be like in certain bit hyperbolic, shall we say, but that was just the amount of adrenaline must have been flying through that bloke's veins and body and, you know, pound signs possibly as well. to be that calm and collected and just spell things out and the plans for next year, etc. You know, I know we're all reassured by the ownership model and the guys that are in charge of the club at the moment. But if you're not, just take a look at that for a couple of minutes. The point I was going to make is, in terms of McKenna just speaking to the players as they were coming off, you know, having been hoisted on fans' shoulders for the previous half an hour, he was still chatting to people that were coming off and having real proper in-depth conversations with all of them. Twan Zabi, he was chatting to for ages and gave him a little kiss as he went off the pitch. And it's just going to be such a horrible conversation for him to have. And I appreciate they're all grown ups. Some of them probably know that these conversations are coming. But as a group of players to have exponentially grown together and had so much success together over 2 years, yeah, they're not conversations that any of us would want to be part of, I don't think.
Aaron, thank you so, so much. $19.99. I don't even know what to say about these donations today. We really, really, really do appreciate it. We understand how new media works and that you listen to the show for free, and we're happy to give you this for free. But if this is the kind of tip at the end of a very, very good season, we really appreciate it. Been following you from day one as a London-based supporter. It can be very lonely out here, and you've made me feel part of a wider ITFC family. Brilliant. Thanks for all you do. Let me take this one, and then I'm going to get your thoughts on Kieran McKenna. This is following me around, this lottery thing, isn't it? Sean, Who in the playoff lottery, sorry, Ben, would you like to join Ipswich and Leicester? You would imagine that the team that would be easiest to finish above in the Premier League next season would be West Bromwich Albion, given the sort of financial state there. And Craig mentioned they'd come off the parachute payments, big loans offsetting those in the first 2 years. Real trouble before the takeover there early this season. Do I think they'll get there? Probably not. But from a tactical point of view, give me minus 10 for Leicester and West Brom and perhaps our chances of survival. It's not a conversation for today. We said we're looking back on a brilliant season. Guys, I really don't want to be that podcast and get into hyperbole and, you know, and Richard used the word genius earlier, and it's actually getting to that point now, isn't it? This must be the hottest manager in English football right now. Richard, just talk about Kieran McKenna, because it does feel like, and Wes Burns kind of reflected on it in his interview yesterday, it does feel like a lot of these people are nowhere near a Premier League footballer until Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, and if I'm a Ipswich Town squad member, that gives me hope for next season as well. And I'm sure Kieran McKenna will want to give faith to the players that have backed him and given results for him as well. I think probably the biggest, you know, David Pratt mentioned this on Sky's coverage. Kieran McKenna's not going to come out and blow his own trumpet about what amazing work he's done. He'll be the first person to pay credit to the players, to talk about the supporters, the ownership. And that kind of tells you everything about the man. I think probably, Ben, as much as we can talk about his tactical acumen, I think you get the sense what a great person he is, you know, a people manager. You know, there's times in all of our lives where we work for and work with in our jobs, just people that you want to be around. They bring out the best in you. And Kieran McKenna is doing so much
entertainment.
Yes. Friend first, boss second. And that's, you know, that's what you want. The fact that he is just so tactically astute and is meticulous is of course important, but actually there's a culture, there's a community feel around the club, both inside and out. And it feels to me like Kieran McKenna's bought into that. He understands the history of the club, doesn't patronize the supporters. So there are so many different facets to why it's so easy to love him, Ben, not just the tactical stuff. It's everything else.
Craig, a word on Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, look, it's no longer luck or chance, isn't it? If it happens once, you know, he was, as we all know, we had quite an extensive budget in League One and pretty much played up to that, didn't we? Certainly in the second half of last season. But to carry on that momentum and carry on the style of play and carry on the volume of goals and the volume of points into a second season in the Championship against all odds with the squad that we've got, man for man, player for player, it's just ridiculous. And the cat's out the bag now, you know, the genie's out the bottle, whatever you want to say. Everyone knows. If they weren't sure before, you can be pretty sure they're damn sure about it now.
Well, Mikey, my brain's kind of gone, oh, okay, he's pretty good and he needs to be somewhere in the top half of the Championship, because then, you know, he'll be less inclined to leave us. And then as this season went on, it's like, if he doesn't get promoted with us, he is gone. And now he's with us in the Premier League. It felt like he was going to be a Premier League manager sooner or later. And it does almost now feel, as Craig pointed out, this was the only way he was going to be a Premier League manager with us right now, next season. Just sensational.
Yeah, just brilliant. And the longer we have him, the better shape we're going to be in long term, because he's not going to be with us forever, let's face it. And I think when he does eventually move on, he's going to move on with all of our best wishes, and we'll probably be rooting for him wherever he goes. But yeah, the longer we can keep hold of him, the better we'll be. The better we'll be at recruitment, bringing through young, talented players. We're going to make money as well from these players that he's developed. So yeah, we're in such good shape now. And yeah, just absolutely incredible man as well, isn't he? Not just a fantastic football manager, but just an incredibly empathetic, just top bloke.
Top bloke. And top podcast, top season. Thank you guys so, so much. We wanted to make today reflecting, and let's be honest, there was no script. Just enjoy the moment. And I'm taking the words of the great Kieran McKenna saying, look, if you can't, you know, you can't have one podcast not looking ahead and just enjoying this. As Rich said, we will be across Premier League stuff and loads of your questions about, oh, squad, who do you want? Who do you think we're going to get? And I think someone said in the Telegram, when the fixtures come out, we'll be across all of that. It's going to be so, so exciting. We're already being asked to talk to this Premier League thing and this Premier League thing. So there's going to be loads and loads of link-ups we can do for you. But we would love to have your feedback. What do you want to see in terms of content? If we can push the envelope a little bit more. Guys, the season's been overwhelming. Your support has been overwhelming, not least today, where we've just been deluged with the kindest donations. And it's just so, so kind. And we always say, we didn't do anything. We just fans like the rest of you. We're talking about the same things we'd be talking about in the pub. And it's so humbling, all the people that have supported today and came up to all of us, I'm sure, on a very emotional day yesterday. I was hugged many, many times, put it that way. Richard, last word from you.
Yeah, we're going to have to sort out another way to give away the Neil Warnock tickets. So many questions.
Carnage.
Sorry, folks. We'll do that some other way. But thank you, everyone who got a question in. Very quickly, enjoy it and just watch how things evolve. If this is your first Premier League promotion as an Ipswich Town fan, the whole place will look different come August. It will be a totally different level. Let's embrace it. The money that comes through the club because of this is going to be huge. I was at the women's game today, got 900 through the gate. Really great attendance for them. I took my niece to her first ever game of football today as well. Bless her, four and a bit years old, loving it. And that's what these moments are about. And I've heard this said a few times. I just want to repeat it. You know, when we got relegated at Liverpool 2002, you know, there would have been people expecting us to bounce straight back and hoping and believing that would be the case. And some of those people haven't been able to see yesterday, haven't been able to see Saturday. So this is for them as much as it is for all of us as well. Let's enjoy the summer, guys. And thank you, everyone, for your support. It's been a fantastic 46 games and plenty more from us to come.
Before you get the last word from Craig and Mikey, I'm sure we'll have many disappointed listeners who haven't got to hear from David Diamond tonight, podcast founder. Here's the last word from David Diamond. You can see the fabled Blue Monday WhatsApp group. Of all nights, laptop appears to be effed. We'll keep trying. Can't believe it. Seemingly a general BT issue. We'll follow on YouTube. I'm watching. David, we love you. And you've been with us since the beginning. And we feel appropriate that we should be able to mock you in your time of need here and give you the last word there. Craig, last word from you. Well,
sorry, just quickly before
he's
we
got
hand
his
over
hand up again.
From Dave, this is really important. We need to mention this. Ben and Dave started this thing. It's a shame Dave's not here to enjoy this moment, but we'll hear from him next week. Next season is season 10, guys. Season 10
no
of the
way.
Pod. So Ben and Dave started this and look where we are now. Thank you, everyone. Huge numbers as well, by the way. So thank you, everyone, for your support. It's been just amazing tonight. Sorry, guys.
Craig, you can sign off now.
Can I? Just to echo what Rich said about the support that we've had in all of these shows that we've been doing. As you said, Ben, so many people came out to me yesterday just to say hello, shake a hand, say thank you, etc. We're not doing anything. We're just a group of blokes who just happen to have a chat. And it's the same chats that everyone's going to be having with their mates in the pub, etc., etc. But just enjoy. As Rich said, if it's your first Premier League experience, then it's going to be something new. It's not our first. It's my third Premier League experience. But it's a completely different beast to what it was the last time we were there. I don't think any of us know quite how it's going to hit us or change the club, etc., etc. It's just going to be one hell of a ride. So, yeah, strap yourselves in.
Testimonial year for Ben and DD. That DD's thinking of some tax-free money there, isn't he? Avery, testimonial. There you go. Last word from you, Mikey.
Yeah, I've been very reflective today, quite emotional, just looking back at all of the games that I've been lucky enough to be at this season and realised how many different people I got to enjoy Ipswich Town with this season, and that includes you boys. Everyone's so invested in it again, and obviously success does attract people that maybe had drifted away or maybe follow two teams, dare I say it. But everyone's back now, and it's a much better place and a much better football club for it. I also want to thank Ben for getting me involved in this podcast a few years ago when I was struggling to find people to talk about Ipswich with, and I thought, oh yeah, maybe I could join a podcast. And yeah, I've made some excellent friends along the way. And Rich, you do such a fantastic job, all of the organizational side and the tech side, and you're a fantastic podcaster as well. It's brilliant to be on with you. And Craig, Joe, Dave, Seb, I really enjoy your company as well, on the midweek shows and on the flagships. And I love all of our viewers and listeners. We've got such a fantastic fan base, and they're so energized at the moment, and it just makes me so happy.
And from me, at the end of the last podcast, I asked you all to hold up one finger in the air to signify the one point we needed to get. I'm going to give you another instruction today. I don't want one finger. I want you to take your 2 feet, and I want you to stick your 2 feet up on the sofa and get ready to watch the playoffs, because Ipswich Town aren't in them, because they have been automatically promoted to the Premier League. Fact.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.